Thank you, Mike, and thank you for that prayer, Enrique. It's certain we can do nothing without our Father and Savior's help. The title of this message is, I Have a Dream. And I was inspired in August to think about this when the 48th anniversary, I think it was, 1963 or so, Dr. Martin Luther King. I looked up his speech to see what he said when I was 10 years old. He said, just a few excerpts of it, talking about the dream that he was sharing, let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friends, and we could easily be doing that these days. Dr. King said, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It's a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident. And we heard last week Mr. Sagley talk about those that love the truth. He was saying the truth that all men are created equal. He said, I have a dream that one day every valley will be exalted. And every hill and mountain will be made low, and the rough places will be made plain, and crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Can you imagine these words being spoken on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in 1963, August the 28th? The glory of the Lord will be revealed. That's the dream that we love and hold on to. And all flesh, he said, will see it together. This is our hope. With this faith, we'll be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we'll be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to stand together, stand for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. August 28, 1963. They killed him for his dream 5 years later, 1968. Yet we have a dream. And we'll talk more about that as we get into this message. In 1939, the movie The Wizard of Oz. There's the music video in that movie featuring Judy Garland holding her little dog, Toto, looking for, what was she looking for? Some place where there isn't any trouble. I guess we had some trouble yesterday and last night, right? In Kansas, Kentucky, all around the Midwest where that tornado hit, destroyed town after town. She was looking for, with her dog, someplace where there isn't any trouble. The ballad, Over the Rainbow, was written in 1939 for the movie The Wizard of Oz by Harold Arlen and Yip Harburg. After the movie was released, the ballad became one of the most successful songs of all time. In World War II, American troops saw Over the Rainbow as a symbol for the United States, a symbol for home. According to Judy Garland, she's in a letter, she said, Over the Rainbow has become part of my life. It's so symbolic of everyone's dreams and wishes. I'm sure that's why some people get tears in their eyes when they hear it. We might recall some of the lines that say, somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. We can read about God's dream for us, and it's not a lullaby, though it is very consoling, right? Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. We can rest assured that God's dream for us, our dream, the dream that we have, will come true, far beyond anything we can think or say or imagine. Our Father God and His Savior, they also have this dream for us that they've revealed. How much do we focus on what they want for us and all their creation? God still has this dream and shares it with us through His Word. Just like Paul, when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, he said, "In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness," Paul said to Timothy. He was looking to the future. He was looking to the dream that God had revealed to him, to us, through His Word. A crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, Paul said, to you, Timothy, too, but to also to all who love His appearing. What was God's original dream for His people? We can see that in what we know as the blessings and cursings chapter, right? In Deuteronomy 28, in the first 14 verses, we see what God's intent, plan, and dream was for His people, His nation. Verse 1, "It shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord, being careful to do all of His commands that I command you today." This is the New American Standard Version. Most of the verses will be from that translation. "If you do the commandments that I command you, your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you." They will overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Wouldn't it be lovely to have these kind of blessings take over our lives? "Blessed will you be in the city. You'll be blessed in the country. Blessed will be the offspring of your body, the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beasts and your herd and your flock. Your basket and your kneading bowl will overflow. You'll be blessed when you go out and when you come in. God will cause your enemies," verse 7, "who rise up against you to be defeated before you." They'll come out against you one way, but they'll flee in seven directions. God will command a blessing on you in your barns, in everything that you put your hand to do, and He'll bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself. We look around and we see a nation that has rejected this establishing of who we are, of whose we are, of the dream that He shared with us for His plans and His eternity with us. He will establish you as a holy people, as He promised you, if you keep His commandments and walk in His ways. So all the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they'll be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity in the offspring of your body and your beast and your ground. Everything will be fruitful, just like God promised to your fathers to give you. Verse 12, "The Lord will open for you His good storehouse," the storehouse of heaven. There are other things stored up in that storehouse. We'll get to that in a little bit. "His good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain in your land in its season and bless all the work of your hand. You'll lend to many nations and you will not borrow. You'll not have to borrow. The Lord God will make you head and not the tail. And you only will be above and not underneath if you listen to the commands of the Lord your God that I charge you today to observe them carefully. And don't turn aside from any of these words that I command you today to the right or to the left, or go after other gods to serve them. God's dream is all about sharing his goodness with his people and sharing his dream for us, with us. David knew about that dream. In Psalm 147, verse 11, he said, "The Lord favors those who fear him. The Lord favors those who revere him, those who wait on his loving kindness." David knew he was waiting for the fulfillment of his dream, which was God's dream for him. Isaiah tells us in chapter 35, verse 4, "Say to the fearful hearted, be strong and don't be afraid. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you." Isaiah and Jeremiah are filled with these promises of what God's dream is for us. Chapter 32 of Jeremiah, verse 36. "Now therefore, God says of Israel concerning the city that you say, it's given in the hand of King of Babylon by sword and famine and pestilence." They were captive at the time. But God said, "Behold, I will gather them." God has a dream and a plan for them. He's not trying to figure out what to do. He knows the plans he has for us. In chapter 29, he said, "Plans to give you a future and a hope," right? Chapter 29, but he says, "I will gather them out of the nations to which I've driven them in my anger, in my wrath and great indignation, and I'll bring them back to the place and make them dwell in safety. They'll be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way," verse 39, "one heart and one way that they may fear me and revere me forever for their own good." That's what reverence to God and holding on to his dream does. It lasts forever and can give us eternity and forever with him in his storehouse of goodness. "I'll give them one heart and one way for their own good and their children after them. I'll make an everlasting covenant with them and will not turn away from them to do them good. And I'll put the fear of me in their hearts so that they'll not turn away from me." How awesome would that be to have God's reverence always in everyone's heart in this country, so no one would care or even consider turning away from him? He says, verse 41, "I will rejoice over them to do them good and faithfully. I will faithfully plant them in this land." How? "With all my heart." He will plant them in this new land with all his heart and with all his soul. How powerful and profound is that? For God to say he'll do something with all his heart and all his soul. "For thus says the Lord," verse 42, "just as I brought all this great disaster on them, so I'm going to bring on them all the good that I am promising." Paul was telling the Ephesians, when he was reminding them to hold on and capture this vision, the dream God has, he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart," Ephesians 1:18, "that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." Be enlightened by the light of this dream. Enlighten so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. We need to remember this dream, the hope of our calling. What are, Paul said, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. It will be exactly according to his working within us through his strength and his might. Paul was telling the Corinthians in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus, he raised his son. We know that. He will also raise us and those that we've lost. He will raise us also with Jesus Christ and present us with you together. As we look forward to the fulfillment of that dream, and he told those in Thessalonica about coming on the clouds together. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 4, for momentary light affliction that's producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. We look not at the things that we can see. We don't want to look around at everything that we can see, because all of that is temporary. Verse 18, all those things are temporary, but the things that we can't see, those are the things that are eternal. That's why it's important to focus on God's dream, his vision and plan for us. Those things are what are eternal. God's dream for us is about eternity. God the Father allowed his Son, the very author of our calling and salvation, to be perfected through his own suffering to bring many sons to glory, right? Hebrews 2:10. To bring many sons to glory. That's what his dream is all about. That's the dream that we need to hold on to. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 and 11 show us, behold, God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him, because his reward is with him and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. His dream is to tend his flock like a shepherd. In his arm, he'll gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom, and he'll gently lead the nursing ewes. Has anyone ever seen a lamb become a shepherd? Revelation 7:17 tells us, for the lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd. The lamb will be their shepherd. Talk about God doing a new thing. The lamb will be their shepherd, and he'll guide them to springs of water of life, the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Isaiah 26. We're reminded by Isaiah's inspired words from God, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. The person who's fixed their heart and their eyes on this dream, that we can say, I have a dream. Fixing their eyes on this, those whose mind is stayed on you, on your plans for a future and a hope, he gives him perfect peace because we trust in him. Verse 8 of chapter 26. Indeed, while following the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you eagerly. When we see him, we'll be able to say this. We held on to the dream you shared with us. While following your judgments. We have waited for you eagerly. Your name, even your memory, is the desire of our souls. Your dream, not our own dream, but the dream that you've shared with us through your word. At night, my soul longs for you, verse 9. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you diligently. When the earth, when the earth experiences your judgments, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Finally, they will learn righteousness. Your dead will live. Those who sleep in Christ, right? Your dead will live. Their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy, because God will be fulfilling his dream. He's in the process of doing that, the dream that we hold on to. For the dew is, your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. The earth is going to give birth to all those who are in the grave. Verse 20, chapter 26. What happens in the meantime while we're holding on to this dream? Come, my people, enter into your rooms. Close the doors behind you. Hide for a little while. It won't be long. Hide for a little while until the indignation runs its course. For behold, God is about. He's about to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth because they didn't want. They didn't care about this dream. They didn't want anything to do with God's dream for humanity, for his creation. He's about to come out of his place to punish those on the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and no longer cover her slain. Evil will no longer be hidden. It will be revealed and extinguished completely. Isaiah 32. After the calamity and punishment that Isaiah was led to write about for Israel and Judah, chapter 32, verse 15, talks about, until at last the Spirit is poured out on us from heaven, then the wilderness will become a fertile field. This is what God's dream helps us look forward to. It will become a fertile field and yield bountiful crops. Verse 16, the New Living Translation says, justice will rule in the wilderness and righteousness in the fertile field. And this righteousness, God's righteousness, the righteousness of his dream will bring peace. Yes, it will bring quietness and confidence forever. What a dream that is. Quietness and confidence and peace forever. My people will live in safety, quietly at home. They will be at rest, verse 18. Even if the forest is destroyed and the city torn down, the Lord, verse 20, will greatly bless his people. The people that care about, the people that are interested in the dream that he's revealed to us. Wherever they plant seed, beautiful, bountiful crops will spring up. Their cattle and their donkeys will graze freely. Isaiah 51, he continues sharing this dream where he says, listen to me. Verse 1, you who pursue righteousness, you who pursue holding on to this dream, keeping his commandments while we eagerly await for him. You who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn and the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah that gave birth to you in pain. Verse 2, when he was just one, he was but one, I called him, God says, and I blessed him and multiplied him to the point where God's dream, in the process of working out his dream, he said, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Did he not say that about Abraham? When he was but one, I blessed him and multiplied him. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion, and it will comfort all her waste places. And her wilderness he will make just like Eden. And her desert will be like the garden of the Lord. Eden, the garden of the Lord. That was God's dream. He put two people in that garden of the Lord. He had great plans for them, but they didn't want to hold on to his dream. They succumbed and yielded to the deception that was allowed to test them at the time. Her wilderness will be like Eden, the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of melody. Pay attention. Verse 4, pay attention to me, O my people. Give ear to me, O my nation, for a law will go forth from me. A law will go forth from me. The rules of how this dream is possible. What will make this dream work for you? And I will set my justice for a light of the people. Verse 7, listen to me, you who know righteousness, you who know about this dream, a people who in whose heart is my law, a people who in whose heart is my dream for all my creation. Don't fear the reproach of man. Don't be dismayed at their revilings. Moth will eat them like a garment, and a worm will consume them like wool. But my righteousness, God says, verse 18, my dream, my righteousness will be forever. My salvation to all generations. God gave a prophecy through the prophet Daniel in chapter 12. That we can read about as he's working out this dream that we hold on to. Verse 1, at that time, Michael, the great prince, God's archangel, who he's using to help carry out his dream, his plans for a future and a hope. Michael, the prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, he will arise, and there'll be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Everyone who valued the future and hope that we carry in our hearts of this dream. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, some to everlasting life and others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. And verse 3, those who have insight, the wise, those with vision, those who have believed, those who have endured, those who have cherished this dream, held on to God's dream for his people, those who have insight will shine brightly, like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead many to righteousness, those who share this dream with others, will shine like the stars forever. This is the dream that we can share with others and use to build one another up, as Paul told those in Thessalonica. Build one another up, encourage one another with the promises that God has for us in his dream. This dream that we can take ownership of. We have God's promises. We know our destiny. Let's remember what he said. Laura brought this to my attention yesterday. What did he say in Deuteronomy chapter 6 when he was bringing his people into the land? his new wife he was bringing into this land. He said, I'm bringing you into a land. I'm going to give you cities that you did not build, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, right? Cities that you did not build, houses full of good things that you did not fill, olive trees and vineyards and cisterns that you didn't dig, plants and trees and fruits that you didn't plant. God had a dream for his people. And what did Jesus say? God was giving all these things that he didn't, that they didn't originate, they didn't work for. Jesus said in John 14, right? In my Father's house are many dwellings. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Because he shares his Father's dream. And he wants us to hold on to it as well. We know, Paul said to the Romans in chapter 8:18, none of the sufferings we see around us or deal with in this present time are worthy to be compared with the dream that God has for us. Compared to the glory of this dream that is to be revealed in us. His glory is being revealed in us. This is what we need to fix our minds and heart on. We can say, I have a dream that we know, just as sure as the sun comes up tomorrow, will come true. Peter was inspired to tell us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, therefore, with this dream in your mind and hearts, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit, remembering what this dream is about. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This grace, fix your hope completely on this grace, this dream that we can say, it's ours because it's God's dream that he shared with us.